You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Kein schöner Land in dieser Zeit, als hier das unsere weit und breit, wo wir uns finden wohl unter Linden zur Abendzeit, wo wir uns finden wohl unter Linden zur Abendzeit.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to TPC's annual March Around the World. This month-long special series begins tonight, and throughout the month of March, we're going to be showcasing leaders and elected officials from different European nations as we seek to discover how our kinsmen are faring throughout the Western world and beyond. We're going to punch your ticket this evening to Germany, Scotland, and Australia as representatives from these locations join us from their respective ports of call. To kick it all off, as the music may have tipped you off, we are doing it in Germany with my good friend Sascha Rossmüller. Sascha is a German politician and journalist living in Bavaria. He is the member of the executive committee of Germany's National Democratic Party, the NPD, and the pan-European organization Europa Terra Nostra. He has served as a parliamentary advisor in the Parliament of Saxony, as well as a parliamentary board of inquiry. He's had a seat on that pertaining to innovation and technology policy. Sascha is in Bavaria tonight, where it is 1 a.m., joining us live. Sascha, thank you so much for doing that.
Thank you for having me. It's a huge honor to be at the start of this walk around the march of your show. It's a great honor, and best greetings to our audience.
Well, thank you so much. And yes, indeed, my friend, with Keith Alexander with me, I'm James Edwards. This is TPC, and Sascha Rossmüller is kicking off our march around the world. It begins right now. Now, we've got a lot to talk about with you tonight, Sascha, but let's start with something we're doing. We are showcasing the music from these respective nations, patriotic anthems that are being hand-selected by our guests as we seek to learn more, not just about how our people are doing in these parts of the world, in these parts of Europe, but also some of the culture and history there as well. So tell us about that opening selection and how things are in Bavaria this evening.
Yeah, a lot of people around the world think that Bavaria is that part of Germany which is very traditionalist and conservative regarding the values. But unfortunately, in this regard, I have a little bit to black pill. That would have been the case 20, 30 years ago, perhaps. But nowadays here in Bavaria, it's nearly the same as in the whole West in regard of value relativation, LGBTQ grays, gender grays, and woke insanity, and this is more infectious than they told us that Corona should be, and unfortunately also in Bavaria. However, the more it's important that we stand strong and fight against it.
Sasha, this is Keith Alexander.
Hi, Keith.
Oh, yeah, okay. Can you hear me, Sasha?
Yeah, it's an issue with Keith's mic. Hang on, we're going to switch here.
Okay. Sascha, Keith Alexander here. Sorry for the technical glitch there. Tell us this. What is happening?
Go.
Okay. What is happening as far as why wokeness seems to be such a big issue in Germany as opposed to Eastern Europe, for example? How's the camel gotten its nose in the tent in Germany and in Bavaria in particular?
Yeah, the point is that due to our economic situation and due to our situation in generous situation in social institutions. The most of the immigrants of the whole world are very interested in coming to. It's not only Germany, but more Germany. And with the hands in, with looking for having their hands in our pockets, and due to this mass immigration, due to this foreign infiltration policy and that demographic shift, so the representatives of the left wing politics they see in this clientele a target group, and so they want to. To go along with their wishes just for receiving the political the real political power, and so that's the problem. And and the second point is that one source of this grace of this woke disgrace, one source is unfortunately the United States, but as you know perhaps that. Germany is more or less a colony of the United States in political regard. It's more or less a vassal state, and so they're focused what's trendy in overseas, and then they imitate it here in our country, unfortunately.
Well, it would seem like it's more like this. It's at least. Isn't Germany the most prosperous nation in Europe now? Is that, am I wrong in that assumption or not?
On a first sight, a lot of people think that is the case. However, indeed, if you do a closer look, you see in what high degree Germany is indebted in fiscal terms, and so I think it's. It's not that economic giant that it seems at the first sight. Germany has more than 2,000 billion on debt on the nationwide scale, and you have to add to this the debt of the federal states in Germany, like Bavaria and everything. There's no state, no federal state, which is not indebted here in Germany. And everything they do is just debt policy, which is also a problem of inflation we face nowadays. And so it seems that we are economically strong. However, that's not true.
Well, you are a target of the Great Replacement. You know, it seems like the left always wants to get the nearest group of third worlders and flood them into white nations. For example, in America, it's Hispanics, and in Europe, it seems to be Muslims. Is that the nature of the Great Replacement there in Germany, that you're getting a lot of Muslim immigrants, or is it broader and more complex or nuanced than that?
There are... Especially since 2015, there are more and more a Muslim immigration, and we face the same right now. If you look at the Ukrainian refugees, that there try Muslims also to mix and to mingle with these women and children.
Sasha, let's hold on right there, my friend. We're going to take a. First break of the hour, we'll go back to Germany, back to Bavaria, with Sasha Rossmuller of ETN and the NP next.
I'm Michael Hill, president of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C. and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
The Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
Our march around the world is kicking off tonight in Germany with Sascha Rossmüller of Europa Terra Nostra and the NPD. We will talk about those respectively in segment after segment here as we come back. Sascha, let's first start with Europa Terra Nostra. This is a pan-European nationalist organization of which I am a member. You sit on its board of directors, and they have just released, ETN has just released a statement on the situation in Ukraine and Russia, which, of course, we're going to be talking with all of our guests during March Around the World about. So let's start with ETN, if you don't mind, maybe a quick 60-second reminder about the purpose of this organization and then the statement it released on the unpleasantness in Eastern Europe.
Yes, Europa Terra Nostra, as you described it, is a pan-European organization which strives to overcome historic burdens between the nationalists of the different European or Occidental countries. And I think it rarely was as important as it is now, as we face a fratricidal war on European soil again. And what we have seen there is that diplomatic talks failed. And when governments end talking together, and we see horrific problems now in Eastern Europe, we thought that we have to recognize that even within the nationalist scene in Europe, there are different historic experiences, and there are develop different mentalities and sentiments, and so we had try as a first step to try that not ending talking within the nationalist movement in Europe, and to analyze the situation, how it is given the different imperialisms in, for example, in Eastern Europe, where in the area of the former Warsaw Pact, or if you look at Finland, or if you look at the Baltic states, there are often resentments against Russia. And if you look in the Western states, there are the resentments against the hegemony of the NATO. And what must not be allowed at the moment is that we have a break within our movement. And so we said it's very, very important to start understanding, to make an analysis, understanding why are the sentiments, how they are, and then to stay in talk together, because only if you talk together you can find some solutions. And there, whatever, no one of us has a crystal ball. No one of us can look in the future, or we even don't know what will happen the next 3, 4, 5, or 6 weeks. However, one day there will be a time after this war. And we have to be one enclosed in our ranks also then and at this time. And so this statement was very, very important. And we tried to start with this statement, on the one hand, a dialogue between all nationalists, regardless from which starting point of sentiment. And what's very important is to balance the perception, because the first victim of war is always the truth. And we see what media manipulation or the establishment, we are in midst the information war. And so it's very important that we analyze together and balance the situation. And most of all, to make clear that we shall not confuse the governments of countries with the peoples of that countries, and not to sides where we have we haven't anything to gain in our wishes we strive for politically.
Sasha, Keith Alexander again. Let me ask you this. It seems to me that NATO is at the heart of this war between Ukraine and Russia, and at least it's our position over here, I think, that NATO is an obsolete alliance. It came into existence to prevent the spread of communism across Europe. Well, guess what? Russia's not communist anymore. But it seems to have morphed into an anti-Russian organization. And, of course, we've heard over here that in 1991, when the Soviet Union was collapsing, the American government guaranteed that they would not expand NATO into former Warsaw Pact nations. But by the late 90s, they were doing that. And when the Russians called our hands on it, our government said, well, you didn't get it in writing. Kind of a childish reply, I think. But anyway, all that Biden had to do was to assure in writing to Putin that Ukraine would not join NATO and we wouldn't have had this war. Am I wrong? Is that an oversimplification of what's happened?
No, you're not wrong. Besides the main tragedy of a further brothers war on European soil, there is a problem after Corona having a topic which is highly polarizing the people. And that's a well-known pattern. Divide et impera, divide and conquer. And the issue is about balancing the different perspectives in this complex conflict in order not to become a victim of manipulation by the media. And you are right. And my sympathies are as well for the burdens and suffering of both, for the pro-Russian Ukrainians in the Donbas over the past 8 years, because this war didn't start now. It started 8 years ago. However, I have also sympathy for the burdens and suffering for the West Ukrainians now. Both are victims. And it's by no means necessary to make a binary decision now and have a standstill in confrontational narratives. And you are fully right. If you look at the medias, we have double standards. What is supposed to be reprehensible in the case of Crimea, they tell us it is right to Kosovo. Or if you look back, we had the Budapest Memorandum in 1994 regarding neutrality of Ukraine. However, since I think it was 1997 under Madeleine Albright, this marching eastwards of NATO has started, and I think U.S. interventions in Iraq, Libya, Syria, or I think it had been aggressions against 9 different countries under the 3 presidents, Clinton, Bush, and Obama, were responsible, were no less aggressive than this war is. And it's about a neutral buffer zone against the eastward expansion of NATO. And if you look at the change in the strategy papers of NATO the last years, they have started to... They have started to declare Russia as an enemy. However, nevertheless, that means that the right of self-determination of Eastern Ukrainians is not worth less than that of the Western Ukrainians. And nevertheless, just as self-determination in itself is equally damaged by foreign influence or even puppet governments, regardless of whether these influence come from the East or come from the West. And I agree fully with you. Without NATO's eastward expansion, or without Maidan regime change, or at least with after all this, the implementation of the Minsk agreements, things perhaps might not have come as far in escalation as we see it now. And the most important thing would be that they have a success at the negotiation table. However, it's not helpful if you now declare further weapons, delivery of further weapons, or accession of further NATO states. It's all more and more escalating. And who knows? But maybe if now NATO gave a signal to revise its strategy in Eastern Europe, I can imagine perhaps that Putin could possibly stop the invasion and withdraw his troops. I don't have a crystal ball. However, I'm sure that threats won't affect anything at the stage reached now. And what's most important for the people on the spot is, first of all, at the moment, a general ceasefire.
Yeah, well, I understand something like that may be in the works, but I think that NATO should have been dissolved when the Warsaw Pact was dissolved.
Let's hold on right there, gentlemen. Gentlemen, Sasa Rossmuller, etnostra.com for Europa Terra Nostra, etnostra.com, where they are seeking to bring nationalists of European descent together, concerned about the prospects of another brothers' war. We'll be back with Sasha for another two segments right after this.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Wendy King.
The U.S. and NATO maintain they will not impose a no-fly zone over Ukraine, warning that could lead to an escalation with Russia. President Putin said he would consider any declaration of a no-fly zone to be, quote, participation in the armed conflict. That conflict is still ongoing, and a ceasefire for parts of Ukraine has been violated by Russia. Ukrainian President Zelensky has fended off three separate attempts by the Russians to assassinate him. Secretary of State Antony Blinken is in Poland working on Russian and Ukrainian negotiations.
We will stand together, as we've been standing together, in support of Ukraine and against Russia's unprovoked, unwarranted, premeditated invasion.
Next week, Vice President Kamala Harris will also visit Poland and Romania. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, folks. This is Wayne Allyn Root. I know you've heard me talk about the Liberty Projects and their wonderful website, VetsAndHorses.com. They are headquartered at Shiloh Ranch here in Southern Nevada. Shiloh Ranch was the late actor Tony Curtis's horse rescue ranch. The Liberty Projects purchased the property and has repurposed it for multiple military vet programs, including rescuing and training wild Mustangs. The program is so successful, they're turning away veterans who need help, and we can't let that continue. J.P. Hoffman and his family and friends have been keeping the program alive from their very own pockets. I just learned that they need to raise $250,000 immediately to continue full operations. I told J.P. he could always count on Team Root. We can't let any veteran be turned away, ever. 100% of all donations are used for the program and only the program to help vets and horses. Government does very little for vets. It's up to us. Help fund this great organization at VetsAndHorses.com. That's VetsAndHorses.com.
Teenager Jackson Refit testified against his father, Guy Refit, in the first federal trial regarding a defendant in the January 6th attack at the Capitol. The teen told the court that his father, who is a member of the extremist Texas Three Percenters militia, bragged about being on the Capitol steps on January 6th with a weapon. He also said he was proud of his actions and threatened to shoot his own son if he turned him in. The teenager recorded his father bragging about carrying a gun at the Capitol. He also admitted he was the first person to light the fire on the Capitol steps. So far, more than 750 people have been charged in connection with the deadly insurrection. Lawmakers in New Jersey and here in Oregon are now working on bills that would legally allow drivers in both states to start pumping their own gas at fuel stations. The two states are the only two remaining that bars drivers from getting their own gas. You're listening to USA Radio News.
I really do look forward to this series all year round. TPC's March Around the World, this is our 18th year on the air. We've only been doing this for 3 years, but it has quickly become my favorite part of the year, and I enjoy every broadcast we do, of course. But this is just so special and so unique to have leaders and representatives from the different European nations coming on from their native soil, staying up so late as they are. Sasha Roschmuller right now, it's well past 1 a.m. in Bavaria where he is, and to have the opportunity to talk with these leaders, to learn a little bit more about the culture and the history of these nations, the current, of course, goings-on, the current affairs and the political realities that we're faced with in these different nations. That's what we're doing all month, and each and every guest featured on TPC this month will be international guests, and you'll hear from Jim Dowson in Scotland in the next hour, and then Drew Fraser, Professor Fraser, in the third hour, all the way from Australia, where it's already Sunday afternoon. But Sasha, I just want to say one more thing about Europa Terra Nostra. And that is, of course, this is a fantastic organization. I can't say that enough. I am not just a member, but a card-carrying member. I filled out the membership application. I joined because it is so sharp and has the potential to be so impactful. The chairman of Europa Terra Nostra is our good friend Dan Eriksson out of Sweden. Sasha is the vice chairman. And again, the primary organizational objectives of Europa Terra Nostra is to serve as a networking platform for European nationalists. It's about strengthening a shared European consciousness, overcoming historical burdens, exchanging experiences, and coordinating resistance against globalism. The passion there at ETN is to develop and popularize new ideas, strategies, and tactics to advance the overarching goal of preserving, celebrating, and advancing our European heritage and ethnic identities. If you want to be a part of that, ladies and gentlemen, and believe me, you should, etnostra.com. That's etnostra.com. etnostra.com. Now, if I could, Sasha, let's pivot and transition to your work with the NPD, the National Democratic Party there in Germany. And there you have, of course, our member of the executive committee as well. So tell us about the NPD and its prospects and what's going on that front.
Yes, a pleasure. However, please give me 3 or 4 sentences to what Keith Alexander has said in the last segment regarding...
Well, I tell you what. Why don't you take it from there? If you want to go ahead and continue that conversation, we'll work in NPD at the end of this segment as long as we can get to it. I want to showcase everything you're involved with because you're active on many different fronts and, of course, having a big impact. So, yes, if you want to go back, I'd never want to truncate a conversation.
Just as a conclusion, and then we can go to my political party in Germany, as he has said, because to the situation, and that's important in regard of Europa Terra Nostra, because I have before mentioned that on one day this war will be over, and as a network for European nationalists, we will have the hard work to bring together again as well Ukrainian, as well as Russian nationalists. And so to this situation, in 3 or 4 sentences, I have a dream, and let me explain this. In a few sentences, I have a dream. My dream is Russia will pull back to the Donbas after resuming negotiations with Ukraine until the Minsk agreements are implemented after all. How Ukraine is then structured shall be decided by free, uninfluenced elections, after which all sanctions will be lifted And NATO follows the same path as the Warsaw Pact as early as 1991 did. And the Second World War is finally ending in the West as well. Europe then can enter into negotiations on an independent security architecture without extra-continental interference. That interference, that's my dream, and that I wanted to summarize as a conclusion to the last segment. And now feel free to ask anything about it.
I tell you what, I think I want to toss it back to Keith for another response to that, and then we'll get into NPD and as well as your work as a journalist. We still have another segment, so we'll get to all of it. But Keith, you know what, Keith? What I just heard from Sasha makes more sense and is a better plan than anything we've heard the so-called world leaders. Why does it take TPC to get men like this on who can offer solutions for the European people?
Well, America just needs to stop interfering in other nations' internal politics. That's what happened in the Middle East. Didn't matter whether the existing Muslim government was friendly, like Mubarak in Egypt. They all had to be expunged, according to Paul Wolfowitz and people like that. And then in 2014, they had a color revolution in Ukraine, which kicked out the pro-Russian president and replaced him with a comedian from TV, Zelensky, and he is a shill for the American government and the anti-Russian forces in the American government. There's no need to be anti-Russian anymore, okay? Russia has abandoned communism. That's what the dissolution of the Soviet Union was all about, and it's about time that our foreign policy caught up with reality. And furthermore, we need, as Americans, to speak out loudly and clearly that our nation needs to stop interfering in the internal politics of other nations.
And we knew that this would be a big talking point, and we were tying that in with Europa Terra Nostra because of the statement that was just released by Sasha and by its chairman, Dan Erickson, who you may hear from before the end of this month as well. So, Sasha, with just about a minute or two remaining in this segment, why don't you give a final word on that? And then with the last segment we had with you tonight in the next segment, we'll go to NPD and your work as a journalist and any positive trends you may be noticing in Germany, if any. But a final word on this, because obviously this is a global issue right now. It's the issue that's on everybody's mind, so it's only appropriate that we spend the lion's share of time with our guest on this. Final word to you on this issue, Sasha.
Keith is right that Eastern Europe is no longer communist, and we could add to this that the West is no longer free. And that
amen. Hear, hear.
And that's a huge problem. And perhaps very interesting on this geopolitical high topical issue is that I'm glad that you did. You made some advertising for ETN. In ETN, we monthly have member meetings online. And in one of the next meetings, everyone who is member of ETN can register. And we will all over Europe or all over the globe from our different occidental perspectives, we will discuss this situation. And I think that's very important that we don't only take recourse to make some propaganda. We are really discussing the issues, and that's why we are able to offer solutions which the governments are not and don't want to.
Let me just say this, too. I think the people need to understand that America played a large role in this war between Russia and Ukraine. All that had to be done was for the Biden administration to state and put in writing that NATO would not expand into Ukraine. If that had been done, none of this bloodshed would have occurred, in my opinion.
And I tried to do the same in Kazakhstan not long ago. And it's the geopolitical strategy of Nicholas J. Spykman since a few decades. It's a kind of an anaconda politic to encircle Russia, and they did it in military alliances, and they did it with the TTIP agreement. They tried it in economic ways, and the problem is Europe didn't become stronger to lose Great Britain transatlantically, and they forced Russia into the hands of Asia. We lost it to Asia. They forced it into an alliance with China. And I think a great danger, what a lot of people don't see, is a great danger is that other regional powers will feel threatened by the Western hegemony of a cultural imperialism that is widely perceived as decadent, by the way, not only by them alone, which means nothing other than that the other regional powers, will or have or are forced to support Russia in the event the West ran rampant. And at the latest then, the world conflagration will be perfect. If diplomacy fails here now, the lights will go out once again as the music starts now.
Sascha Rossmuller is kicking off our march around the world. We'll be back with him live in Germany right after this. One more segment, then we're going to go to Scotland and then round out the night in Australia. A full month of this kind of fun and informative talk radio is coming your way right here on TPC.
Hello, TPC family. It's James, and I've got to tell you that I sleep better at night knowing that there are organizations like the Conservative Citizens Foundation. The purpose of the Conservative Citizens Foundation is to promote the principles of limited government, individual liberty, equality before the law, property rights, law and order, judicial restraint, and states' rights, while at the same time exploring the dangers posed by liberalism to our national interests and cultural institutions. The Conservative Citizens Foundation also seeks to educate the public on the dangers of extremist ideologies like critical race theory and cultural Marxism. I've worked with the good people at the Conservative Citizens Foundation for many years, and their work comes with my complete endorsement. For more information and to keep up with all the latest conservative news headlines, please check out their website, AmericaFirst.com. That's MERICA1ST.com. AmericaFirst.com.
Have you ever heard of Loving Liberty Ladies? Well, the Loving Liberty Ladies are here to help you learn our American heritage and the way it affects today's society. The Loving Liberty Ladies also have a discussion guide called Proclaim Liberty. And with this guide, you can start your own group in your hometown. Get yours today on our website at lovingliberty.net. Look for our lesson supplements, too. They're free. To hear all the special offers and to join the fight for freedom and liberty, please go to lovingliberty.net.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas, like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Wenn alle untreu werden, so bleiben wir doch treu. Dass immer noch auf Erden für euch ein Weltlein frei. Der Erde wohnt sein Wunder, ihr Kinder besser sein. Die Kunst zum Männer, Tugend und Liebestod gemein. Der Erde wohnt sein Wunder, ihr Kinder besser sein.
Sascha, we are going to have to play a little bit of rapid fire segment. I've got three or four questions we really need to get presented to you before we run out of time this evening. And thank you again for staying up so late with us. But let's talk a little bit about the music. People have heard now four different German folk songs and anthems. Perhaps you could give us a little bit of information behind the lyrics.
Oh, I think then we will really run out of time because there is a huge history and tradition about this. It's a little bit of some with a bit more military sounding, more melancholic, and that I think was a good mix. And one has been the anthem of Bavaria, which. It's very kind of you to play this for me this night. However, I think to delve deeper in that topic, we should make a special cultural show on another date, because believe me, we would run out of time if we go in too deep now in these circumstances here.
Well, my friend, consider it a date, and we will certainly do that. It is, with what's going on, obviously 2 weeks ago we weren't anticipating this war, and we had intended to spend a little more time focusing on the cultural, but we will get to that in due time. But these are great anthems for our people that you have shared with us tonight. So let's talk about what's going on in the German political scene. I'll ask you a two-part question here. How overzealous is the German response to what's going on in Russia? Certainly all of the Western nations, these decadent, degenerate, and criminally corrupt heads of state.
Spreading
of the,
democracy, as they call it.
Well, of the Western nations are all in array against Russia. Is it? Is there a real anti-Russian fervor in Germany, or are they just going along with the in-crowd? And then let's talk certainly about the NPD, which is our party in Germany.
Yeah, they're... We see the problem that the huge majority is media manipulated and is, how shall I explain, is abused as stooges of the decadent LGBTQ West against values-based conservative traditionalist Eastern European countries. And right now we face a huge censorship in media. Here in Germany, they banned, for example, Sputnik News. They banned Russia Today, and they it's only a one way propaganda you hear here or can see in the media, and that makes things worse because it's a polarization here in the society. However, most people just see the mainstream. Establishment media, and so the stance, the pro-Russia stance, is just by them who are stalwarts, which also fires the polarization, and I think that's quite problematic. We had this polarization with the Corona situation. Now we have the polarization with that situation. And as I have said in the beginning, divide et impera, divide and conquer. And always when the Europeans wear them out in fratricidal wars, non-continental powers had the huge gains of this, and the situation in Germany is quite worse. Germany has been enormously affected by mass immigration and foreign infiltration for so many years now that the replacement policy, the demographic exchange, no longer takes place only across borders, but moreover already in the maternity wards. And the example of, as I told, Corona and now the Ukraine-Russia conflict further give evidence, unfortunately, that the majority of Germans very uncritically adopt synchronized media reporting, and that in many cases emotional reflexes dominate instead of factual analysis. However, I don't want to reduce my realism on just blackpilling, especially the protests against the Corona policy, against lockdowns, curfews, debate of about mandatory vaccination and so on, gave rise to a kind of a quite popular protest where MPD is as well involved, a protest that includes different classical political camps. And perhaps that is a kind of a seedbed for a second system change from the grassroots after 1989 in the former GDR. And even if they are manipulated in this warfare situation now, it's a sanction policy that will do harm perhaps much more to Germany and the European Union than it will do to Russia in its strong alliance with Iran, with China, and some Latin American countries. And perhaps when those at the top no longer can, and those at the bottom no longer want, perhaps the policy of deception will come to an end, regardless how unfortunate the situation currently appears. The hour before sunrise is also known as the darkest of the nights. So there is always hope. And on this, that's where NPD has to start with its work.
Well, let me say this, Sasha. This is Keith again. I think that Germany has been the whipping boy of Europe for too long, okay? They've taken all of this blame for World Wars One and Two, which I think is misplaced. Germany didn't even become a nation until 1871, and they were the largest, they had the best economy, and they had the best military, but Britain couldn't come to terms with it, and that's what led to that. And basically, I think that the German people have been suffering from Stockholm Syndrome ever since the end of World War II, and it's time, I think, to say enough is enough on this, and let's let Germany use its common sense and its great abilities and capabilities to lead Western Europe. And tell us how the NPD intends to kind of help that process along.
We need more self-confidence and trust in our capabilities here in Germany, first of all. And regarding especially to the NPD, we as well as in other European countries, we have a rise of some populist movements, however, which are very inhomogeneous, which are not very experienced, which are partly also some career politicians, and they don't have a long tradition in manifests, and that's a problem. However, they have relative success. And to be honest, the NPD has been largely marginalized by the relative success of the AfD, the Alternative for Deutschland, not least because even in the early days when they were not yet in parliament, they were granted media platforms, unlike the NPD, which is why we are no longer represented in the parliament since. Anyway, perhaps that's interesting for the audience to receive some insight here. Anyway, it doesn't help to moan and rail at the regime and blame everyone else. Moreover, it's to start, like Clausewitz said, a new analysis of the situation and try to react innovatively. And it is precisely for this reason that the NPD is currently working on a fundamental party reform, including a new strategy. That means not our program. That means, besides a stricter selection in which elections it makes sense to participate, essentially, that means to become, even if it sounds paradoxically, a kind of a anti-party organization, although maintaining party political status. However, with more diverse low-threshold offers for attending and further offering special resources such as real estate, we have publishing house, lawyers, and experience as a network service provider beyond an organizational egoism. And moreover, it's necessary reflecting on the fact that the establishment has covered the NPD brand with smear campaigns over many, many years in order to leave scorched earth in terms of our public image regarding the perception of ordinary media-manipulated people. Nonetheless, the party leadership will not wallow in self-pity, but rather strives to react innovatively, and so there's a high dynamic in this NPD at the moment, especially given this anti-corona protests, to adapt on this situation and be a kind of a service and then develop as a networking platform for a broader part of a movement. And then I think that's very historic in party history, and that's very interesting, perhaps, for the audience outside of Germany.
Well, it's absolutely interesting. And Sasha, you're a man who is active in so many different arenas. We mentioned, of course, made mention of the fact that you were the vice chairman of Europa Terra Nostra. You're a member of the executive committee of the NPD. That is npd.de, if you want to check them out online. You're also a journalist, and we only have seconds remaining. It's not nearly enough time to get into this, but you did me a great honor of featuring me and your publication about a year ago. Tell us a little bit more about that publication. Seconds remain. Perhaps just the name of it and its purpose, and then we'll follow up with you again soon. You have been a fantastic guest to kick off March Around the World. Go, Sasha.
Thank you. Yeah, I have written two books, and I have one book is available in English language. It's Europe Contra European Union, Let's Break Away from Brussels. And one, it would be translated as a geopolitical sea change, multipolarity instead of imperialism. It's in German language. However, I'm working on my third book right now, which will be a basic work. And what's important, I plan to publish it bilingual as well in German as in English language. And who want to follow my commentations can do it on the free speech platform Gab.
And ladies and gentlemen, if you go to our website, thepoliticalcesspool.org, and you look at our promo for tonight's broadcast, we have linked over to Sasha's Gab. Please do follow him there. Sasha Rossmuller joining us live from Germany tonight to kick off our march around the world. It was a fantastic choice to do so for us to feature him as our first guest. Sasha, thank you so much for all you do for our people. We'll talk to you again very soon. We're going to Scotland in the next hour. Thank you, Sasha.
Thank you. I was grateful that you're having me on. Best greetings to the audience. It was a pleasure and a huge honor.
Ours entirely, my friend. We'll be right back.